country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Right, we've got Rowan and Colin. Is Robert here?
Yeah.
Oh, you're one of the, okay, I need you to come here. I want you, because, right, this is father's son. Colin, can you help me? Yeah. Rowan, you come up here. Right, this is father and two sons. Robert, come and stand here. You're going to be the youngest son, right? So you're kind of that way anyway, aren't you? Come and face everybody. Right, we've got the father and his two boys, an older son and a younger son, okay? So this is the setup. These are the characters. And the younger son says, I want my share of my inheritance. When do you usually get an inheritance?
When the dad dies.
When the dad dies. So, yeah, you don't want that. Well, that's good. But this younger son, really, that's what he wanted. I guess what he was actually saying is, I want my inheritance. He was actually saying, I wish you were dead. Really, that's kind of what he's saying. I don't want any more part of this. I want to go. I want to leave home and go and live my own life, my own way. Thank you. So off you go, Robert. You need to go off a long way away. Father, son, you can go sit down. Thank you very much. All right, so off he's gone to a distant country. He's got all his things. And it says, what did it say? It squandered it on prodigal living. That's where they get the word prodigal son. It means reckless. It means like wasteful. This prodigal son, he goes, waste it all. You know, he wanted his freedom. He wanted to break off the shackles of home life. He wanted to express himself. He wanted to be the person he wanted to be inside. He wanted to fulfill all of his desires. And so he had to get as far away as he could from his, you know, oppressive, suffocating father. So he runs away. He's the runaway son. But it gets worse. Why does it get worse? What happens next? What happens next in the story, Jesse?
Yes. Next in the story, he has to work for pigs.
Yeah, why though?
Because he has no money.
Yeah, but why? What else happens?
He wants to eat the pig food.
Well, he does. It gets to that. But what happens in the story, Rose? There's a famine. So now, life gets even harder for him. And he's squandered everything. So famine comes, and then, like Jesse says, he's got no choice but to come and start serving pigs. The son is now a servant to pigs. Robert, come back here, man. I've got here a pig pen. You're going to have to get in this, I'm afraid. It's got really low food. Here's my pig pen slash hamster run. But it's a pig pen today. You need to sit in there. Right, turn around. That's it. And you've got to look miserable. More miserable than that. Sit on your bottom. It'll be more comfortable. And what did he start to envy? What did he wish he could have? Yeah, go ahead, Noah. The pig food. It just so happens. We had a men's breakfast yesterday. And I've got the remains of that here. So what we've got. Yeah, this is the food bit. So there's some old tea bags. What can you see in there? Eggshells.
Let's see.
Yeah,
I see
it. Oh, look at that. Get a whiff of that, Pharisees. You want to see? Shall I show you? No, okay. Right, there you are, Robert. That's yours. Okay. Enjoy. Enjoy, all right? Now, so that's the scene. He's the... Oh, we'll close, actually. We'll stick that way. There we are. Goodness gracious. He's a bit of a mess, isn't he? And in fact, here, to represent this even more, let's put this on you, Robert. This represents, let's say, how much of a mess he's made of things. He's wasted all that money. He's left home. He's wished his father was dead. And look where it's got him.
Aww.
It's got him nowhere, all right? Right, here we are, Robert. You can just put this over your shoulder. Or you might go to get your hands in. Here we go. Look at this. Oh, dear. What a sad, sorry sight that is. But what is this a picture of? This is a picture of people who run away from God, who think freedom is getting away from God. Free to be who they want to be, to live as they want to live. That sounds like our culture, doesn't it? That's what our culture goes on about. That's how you to be really happy, to be really free. Oh, you don't need God. You just need to do what you want to do. Be who you want to be. Free. Live for self, live for a pleasure, and don't let anybody stop you. Nobody can stop you fulfilling your desires. But it can't, can it? Come on, you know this. I learned this even as a young man. I had everything a 17-year-old lad might want in life, pretty much. And I was miserable. Maybe you've had that experience too. You've tried it. You've been there. You've done that. You've got the t-shirt and you know it just doesn't work. There's still this emptiness inside of you. And a lot of people are finding this right now in our culture. We've talked about the quiet revival here before. You maybe know what I'm talking about there. But people have realized there's an emptiness. And it's got to be filled with something. And some people are wondering whether that was God in the first place, all right? Now, let me ask you a question now. These sinners who are listening to Jesus, what do you think they are thinking about this son? All right, 30. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, sorry, this here, right under my nose.
Give him some help.
You feel you want to help him?
Yeah.
Yeah? What else might you be feeling if you were one of these sinners listening to Jesus? Jesse.
Sorry for them.
You feel sorry for them, Thea.
He's a bad person.
You're thinking he's a bad person. You might be thinking he's a bad person like me. I feel like that guy. Maybe you feel like that. What are these guys thinking? What are the Pharisees thinking? Yeah, go ahead.
A revolting, sinful guy.
Yeah, you go, oh, what a revolting, sinful. Yeah. What do you think? Ha ha, yeah, he deserves it. Look at what he's done, he deserves that. Can you see there's two different views there? Look at verse 17 of our passage. Let me read it. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father." It says he came to his senses. He had a wake-up moment. And you can imagine him having that. Realize, look at where I am. His eyes were opened and he finally saw really where he was. And now he's ready to go home. He realizes it was better at home. I may not be qualified to be a son anymore. I may not even be able to be a slave or a servant. I'll just be a hired hand, which was even lower. That's what he's expecting now, and he's ready to go home. All right, all of my volunteers, you can go back to your seats now. I'll need you back in a minute, all right? Here's some questions. I want to give you about 30 seconds to a minute in where you're sat, just perhaps with the people around you. Parents, this is an opportunity for you to teach your children and talk to them as well, but perhaps friends, talk together. Here's a couple of questions I want you to discuss for 30 seconds. Why do you think people sometimes want to run away from God? And what do you think the son was learning in the pig pen? All right, have a minute to talk about those things. All right, go ahead. Okay, very good. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt your flow of conversation. Yeah, maybe you've had some good ideas coming together. He gets up and he goes back to his father. But what will happen when he gets there? Well, let's find out in just a moment. I'm going to pray and then we'll sing again. So let me pray. A prayer of confession, really. Merciful Father, we confess that like the prodigal son, we have turned away from you. We've taken your good gifts and wasted them on selfish things. We thought we knew better than you and chose to go our own way. We've wandered far from home, chasing things that could never make us happy. And now we feel empty and lost. Forgive us, Lord, for treating your love as something we deserve instead of the gift that it is. We're sorry for going our own way and making foolish choices. Like the younger son, we realize how far we've gone from you. And we come back not because we deserve forgiveness, but because we need your mercy. Father, we don't deserve to be called your children, but we trust in your great love. Amen. I wonder, what do you think that son is thinking as he walks home? What might he be thinking? Thea, go ahead.
My father's gonna, he hates me.
Yeah, he hates me, maybe. What else? Maybe anything else? Yeah, go ahead, Rose. Yeah, yeah. He's never going to love me again. Elsie? Shameful. Shameful. What a good word. Yeah. Grown-ups, anything you'd say?
He's going to send us away.
He's going to send me away. Door's going to... As soon as he sees my face knocking at that door, boom, slam the door. What do you think the Pharisees... Well, maybe you could help me with this one, right, Toby? What do you think the Pharisees are expecting to happen? Go ahead. Yeah. They're expecting all of those things, and rightly so. All right, look at chapter 15 again, verse 20. Verse 20. The son, he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick! Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Right. I need my father and son back. Prodigal son. You've left your pigsty behind, and you need to go. Yeah, you're far away still. Right? Now, that's it. Go away. Now, let's observe some things, right? What did the father see? What did the father feel? And what did the father do? And what did the father give? All right. What? First of all, what did he see? It says he saw him a long way off. Right? Now, why would that be? Why do you think that would be, Toby? Great answer. Yeah, maybe it's because he'd been looking out for his son every day. I hope my boy comes home. That was the father's longing. The father would come when he was looking for him. What did the father feel? What does the Bible say? What does the text say? Zach? He was full of compassion, not anger, not, "Oh, I can't believe, how dare he bring his face around here." No, his heart's full of compassion, which is another word for love. He loves his son. Now, what did the father do? No, I can tell it. He ran! Thanks, Colin, you know the cue. That's it. He ran and embraced him. Now this is interesting because in that culture, dignified, respectful, proper men didn't run in public. Oh, no. Because running, you know, in those days they had these robes and you'd have to pull up their robes to run like that, you see. And you'd see their ankles, right? And that would be, whoa, I can't have that. No, but he didn't care about that. Oh, no, he didn't, through all of that, so I don't care about what people think of me. My son's come home. And he runs to greet him, just like Jesus. Remember with those sinners? He didn't care what people thought about him. He loved these people. Now here's the thought. This is what caught me. Thinking about the running, okay? It wasn't just the fact that he didn't care what people thought about him. Here's the thought that struck me. He ran because he couldn't let his son stay one more second than he had to away from home. That's the thought that came to me. As soon as he gets a whiff that his son is coming home, so I'm not going to stand for it. He's not going to spend one more second than he needs to outside of my love. I want to end his misery as quickly as possible. He wasn't still here waiting yet. Come on. On your hands and knees. You don't have to do it. But come on your hands and knees. Come all the way home groveling. Yes, I thought you'd be back. No. He's coming home. I want to end this as quickly as possible. The heart of our Father God is always to move towards the sinner, not away from them in compassion. A sinner who turns and repents, the Father's heart is to move towards them, not away from them. Don't you love that? I needed to think about that this week. I'm prone to be a Pharisee. I had some wilderness years. Maybe you did too. But actually, when I came to know Jesus, I found myself becoming more like a Pharisee. And I sometimes remember where I stand. I'm the son coming home. Will the Father love me? Will he accept me? He runs to us. Right, Father, bring the son in then. Come on, bring him home. Now, what did he give him? What were the whole bunch of things he starts giving him? Lydia, what do you think? Let's say it again, sweetheart. A ring. Yeah, what else? Jesse?
The
fine robe. What else? Yeah. Sandals for his feet. These all represent him being restored as a son. He was getting basically the status back as a son. What else did he get? Yeah, go ahead, Drew. A fat calf. Yeah, he had a feast. What else? You've missed the really smoochy bit. What else did he get? Hugs and kisses. Oh, do you like hugs? And a ring on his finger. We missed that, didn't we? Yeah. All of these things tell us his son is loved. He's embraced. He's not outside anymore. And it's interesting. You notice the son starts his speech, doesn't he? He's been rehearsing. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against you. He starts his speech, but it's like the father's not even listening to that. No, this is enough. You've come home. I know your heart. And all of these new things. I won't put it on, but I did have a shirt you could wear. But we won't bother that. All right, you've taken off your sinful one anyway, so that we get the picture. And he puts on a great celebration, a feast, a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. Now, where's our Pharisees? There they are. What have you got? You want to come up? You can come up. Yeah, come on. We need to see your faces. What's the look on their faces as they're hearing Jesus tell this story? Come and stand here. What kind of look are they going to make? Oh yeah! Oh yes! Very good, ready. Oh dear! What's going on here? This wasn't what I expected. That's what they were expecting. That's not what they wanted. This is outrageous. This is scandalous. Yeah, this is brilliant. This is we've got it now. Right? For the visual learners, there we are. That's what we're going to be doing. Thank you. You can go sit down. Well done. All right, you boys can go sit down. Thank you so much for all your help. All right, here's a couple of questions. The running father. What is Jesus teaching us about what God is like? And how might this story be encouraging to the sinners who are listening to Jesus? 30 seconds to a minute, just chat about these things again in your little Rose, where you are. Let's meditate. What's Jesus trying to get across here? Let's have a think. Okay, very good. Jesus is teaching us, isn't he? And maybe you picked up some of these themes of his scandalous grace, his extravagant love, his unashamed generosity towards sinners, full of compassion, not condemnation on the sinner who repents and turns back to him. Maybe you feel like you're a younger son type this morning. Maybe you've run away again and feel hardly deserving anymore. Maybe your life has been shattered by sin and you can hardly hope that there's a place for you with God. But think, God is just waiting and watching for you to come home. And just even a slight inclination for you to turn back, he starts to move towards you in grace. And he can lavish you with his love and his forgiveness and his blessing. Now there's one more person in this story, and we need to consider him. But we'll do that in just a moment. Right now, we're going to pray again. And I think, did I ask Rowan to pray a prayer of thanksgiving? Would you come and do that for us now, please? Thank you. So many things. You're doing them as well. Thank you.
Gracious Father, thank you for your amazing love, like the Father in the story. You have been watching us and waiting for us to come home. And when we were still far away, you saw us and loved us. Thank you for welcoming us with open arms. We're grateful that you didn't give us what we deserved, but instead you poured out your love on us. Thank you for forgiving us completely, welcoming us back into your family, and then that heaven rejoices when just one sinner repents and comes home to you. Your grace is wonderful. We expected you to be angry, but you gave us joy instead. We thought you would reject us, but you welcomed us home. Father, thank you that we can never wander too far from your love. Your forgiveness is complete, and your joy over us is more than we can imagine. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you, Ro. Well, we can see here there's a table prepared. And this table has got bread on it, and it's got some little cups of juice. And this is what we use to help us to celebrate ourselves. We're going to have a feast, just like the Father did for the Son. But it's not of the fattened calf. It's a feast of the Lamb. The Lamb who was slain. Jesus is called the Lamb who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the sacrifice that was prepared for us. Just like that fattened calf was prepared to welcome home the Son. This Lamb was given so that we could come home as well. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He gave his life, broken body, shed blood on the cross, to pay for all of our sin, to pay for our running away, so that we could come home. A price had to be paid. You see, in the story of the prodigal son, did the father get his money back? Did he? Did he make his son pay it back? Did he say, you've got to work for it now? Did he say that? No. So who paid the price, really, for the son's sin? It was the father. He incurred the debt himself. And this is the way it is with the Lord. He pays the debt for us that we owe in giving his son. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So what is this for? Well, this is to remember Jesus, to remember he died on the cross, that his body was broken for us. He suffered God's punishment for our sin. It's to recognize together now the blood, the death is the only way for sinners like us to find peace with God. That his death totally satisfies God's judgment so that we can be free. Who's it for? This is for anyone who trusts in Jesus as their Savior, who know that Jesus is the one who died for them. It's for those who have repented and turned away from sin and are returning to the Father. If that's you, then this is open for you to join and celebrate with us. If that's not you, if you're not a Christian, if you're not sure about that, then please, we're going to let these things pass you by, if that's all right. Others might do the same. And that might feel a little bit awkward. You might feel like, oh, I don't want to be left out. But that's an important feeling. I want you to kind of recognize, oh, I feel left out. Feel a bit awkward. It is to show us there is a line. There is an outside and an inside of the family. And God wants you to come in. He wants you to join the family. Let that feeling not embarrass you or anything like that, but draw you in. I want this. I want in on Jesus. I want to trust in him too. Here's what we're going to do to celebrate this together. I'm going to ask our stewards, and I forget now who it was. Yes, Tom and Keith. They're going to come. And what I suggest, when there's quite a lot of us, and I don't want to take it too long, if you could take the bread and the cup maybe together, so you can do you think that's possible, Keith? And everybody can take a piece of bread and a cup at the same time, rather than doing one and then the other. I should have probably mentioned that, but I was late. Okay, all right, hands up again. That would be
great. Two more servings,
Yeah, that could be helpful. Yeah, if there's two more volunteers who'd like to serve maybe the bread or the cup. Thanks. Yeah, that would be great. So one could take the bread, and then everybody can get served. That would be great. Thanks, boy. Yeah, just get yourselves ready. Well, music team, if you could be served first. So Phil and Colin, I'd like the boys to lead us in a song. We're going to sing while we're sat here, His Mercy Is More, as the bread and cup come. And that help us meditate on what we're doing right now, okay? Is that all right?
Are we having it all when we get it?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes, right. So when you get the bread, you can eat the bread straight away. Hold on to the cup, because we'll drink that all together. And that's a nice way to show that we're all united as a family, okay? Let me pray first, and then guys get to serving, and our musicians will lead us. All right, thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have given us this meal. Lord, without it, I can't think of better ways for us to really appreciate more together and celebrate together and show our unity together than around this meal, this bread and this cup. Simple things that show that we are one with Jesus, that he is the one who paid for my sin, and that through him I'm part of this new family too. Oh Lord, we thank you for that body that was broken, that blood that was shed for us, so that we could come home. Lord Jesus, so help us to be mindful of that now, to be grateful for it, Lord, and may you move towards us now. If someone's feeling perhaps heavy-hearted about this morning, Lord, that they would see here is an offer of that grace, that love, that hugging and kissing Father who welcomes us on home. Lord, may that be what they're aware of now, that here's you moving towards us. Here's this offer, an invitation, come and eat free, without price, without payment. Come, eat and live. Oh Lord, may we respond with full hearts of faith and joy and thanksgiving in this meal now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right, we're almost done. We've just got one little character we've really got to consider, haven't we, in this story. And that's I'm going to call him the lost son. He's the lost son. He's just as lost as his younger brother. Look at chapter 15 then again and verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry. Well, we'll come to that in a minute. I wonder how you would feel if your brother had behaved this way and was treated then like this, got his own party or whatever. How would you feel about it? Now, children, I'm sure you can relate to this, right? Think about it. Maybe with your own brothers and sisters, maybe when they do something wrong, right, you expect them to get punished. Right? You expect them to get in trouble, especially if you were doing the right thing all along. Maybe you've been given some instructions and you were doing it very, very well. You were being a very good boy, a very good girl, but your brother or sister wasn't. And then imagine they do something wrong, but then they stop and they say, I'm really sorry, and they genuinely mean it. And your mom and dad give them a party instead. How would that make you feel? Well, if you're anything like my children, who have a very acute sense of justice, then not very well. Well, look at the son, verse 28. Yet he was angry. He refused to join the party. He refused to go in. He's sulking. Where's our older brother? Come on, Ro. We need to see it. Come on. We need you to show us your best sulky face.
No.
I hear you've got a very good reaction. Right, okay. Honestly, really good. Yeah, that's very good. Sulky. He's a little bit resentful. He's a little bit bitter. Yeah, he's pacing around outside. He's very cross about it. Symbolically around the pig site. It's interesting. You would pick that. Okay, interesting. Well, interesting. Lostness. Okay. Now, notice what the father does. What does the father do? Verse 28, look at that, please. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. What does the father do here? Where's our dad? Come on. Father, sorry, I'm really working hard today. The father... and he goes, hey, please to him. Now, here's another thought that struck me this week, thinking about this. In the previous two parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep, it's the woman who lost the coin and the shepherd who lost the sheep. The woman and the shepherd are the ones who go out to find what was lost. The father in the parable of the lost didn't do that for the prodigal son, did he? You don't read of him going to find him. He did run to him, though. That's the same idea. But here you see exactly the same thing. I think you see it anyway. He goes out to seek this son too. You see, there's grace and compassion for Pharisees as well. Right? Yeah. Okay.
I think that's striking, isn't it? He goes out to him as well. See, this is not a story just for the sinful younger brother types. It's for the older brother types as well. There's even grace and compassion for you too.
Look at verse 30. Excuse me, verse 29. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Thanks, boys. You can sit down. Now, what's wrong here? Here's a couple of questions. What's going on here? What's wrong with this, the way this young son is thinking? Another 30 seconds to a minute. Here's a couple of questions. How does the older son see his relation to his father? How does he really think of his relationship with his dad? What did he really want from his father? Right, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I
Okay. What do you think then? I'd love to hear some answers to these questions this time. How does the older son, yeah, see, is it older or elder? All right, that's a question I was wrestling with all week. All right, older son, see, how does he see his relationship with the father? How do you think? Grown-ups, feel free. Yeah, Paul.
We said transaction, like, I've done this, then I'm due that.
Good, yes. Yeah. Transactional, yeah. If I do this for you, then you need to give me this. Yeah, what else?
Slave driver.
Oh, let's have Andy, ladies first.
Slave driver.
Yeah, where do you see that, Andy?
He said, look, all these years I've been slaving.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You would just describe it like that. I'm not doing this because I love you, Dad. I'm not doing this because, you know, this is life in your family and, you know, it's great working for you. I'm slaving for you. That's how he sees the relationship. Clive, what would you say? What were you going to say?
Bitterness.
Yeah, there's bitterness there. Yeah, what makes you see that, Clive, do you think?
Well, he said, I've been slaving for you. He's not speaking as his son.
Yeah.
He's speaking as, he's jealous. I think.
Yes, so that slavery makes him feel bitter. Anything else?
I was saying that the older son thinks that his dad will only love him if he's done all this stuff.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if that, again, it's that transactional thing. If I do this for you, then you'll give me your love and blessings and all these things, okay? What did he really want from his dad, then? What did he really want, Jesse?
He wanted, like, the stuff. It's actually a bit like what the younger said. He said, give me all the money.
Yeah.
But he's also doing it there as well.
That's right. Jesse said, yeah, he wants the same thing as the other son, doesn't he? Just wants stuff from the dad. Just wants his stuff. Elsie, what would you say?
Maybe the younger son to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, that's certainly what he wanted. He wanted, oh, this isn't right. I want my younger brother to get in trouble. He doesn't deserve it. He deserves something else. Yeah, you can see all of this. I'm sure there's more we can see, but oh, go ahead, Paul, got one more thing. And then we got Brian. All right, we've got two more. Can we do Brian? Oh, yeah, let's do Brian and then...
He just wants the love from his father.
You think he wants love from the father? Yeah, he wants... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think there is probably some of that too. Or there could be, and certainly in some Pharisaical types, it would be that you want that from your... And you've got to work, but you've got to earn it. You've got to work for it. Yeah, I think he sees himself as a slave rather than a son. He wants his goat. I want my goat! You know? It's on that little tantrum, isn't it? He doesn't want the father... He doesn't want to share it. You see, if he really loved his father, can you think about it? If he really loved his dad, and his dad, this is the thing that makes his dad happy when his younger son returns. You can imagine that son, oh, if that makes dad happy, it makes me happy. He doesn't care about that, though. He doesn't enter into the heart of the father. He doesn't really want his dad. He's got no compassion for his younger son at all, has he? He thinks he's a bit... In fact, I think he's probably a bit jealous. Because here's what I think, and Pharisee types can be like this. They look at that wicked person who gets to do all of those things, go wild living, prodigal living, and they think, actually, there's a bit of me that really wishes I could do that too. But I'm not. I'm staying. I'm doing the right thing. But what I really want is that. There's a bit of that in his heart, I think. So can you see? I think this older son isn't all goody two shoes. He's just as broken and lost and outside as the other son was as well. They're both lost. How is this older son like the Pharisees then? Remember those Pharisees listening to Jesus and what they're thinking about these sinful people following Jesus? How is this older son like them, do you think? All right, 30 seconds. Have a think about it. Mull on it. How is the older brother like the Pharisees? Yeah. Yeah. Very pretty. Okay. Okay. Any thoughts? How's the older son like the Pharisees then? Lydia. Yeah, so they're both like to follow the rules, and they feel probably quite, like you said, quite proud of themselves. Yeah, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, go ahead. Earn love. Yeah, there's a bit of that. Elsie. Yeah, looks down. I'm better than you, Jesse.
The older brother goes, how come he gets a party for my father? I've worked hard, I've followed your rules, and then the Pharisees are going to the sinners. How come they get to be with Jesus and have eat with him and everything? We followed all his rules, we love him.
Oh, some of them might have felt like that. Maybe they were jealous of the sinners. They wanted to hang out with Jesus, maybe. I mean, we know a lot of them didn't like Jesus, though, so maybe they weren't that jealous. But some of them might. Some of them certainly did become Christians, actually. Somebody else had a hand up here. Yeah.
No, you sure?
All right, no, that's fine.
We were talking about how they thought they were better than everyone.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's right. Now, look, here's a few points. How can you tell whether you're a Pharisee? Here's some questions, right? Here, let me give you some ideas. If you think being a Christian is about rule keeping, if you think God owes us blessing because we've been good, and therefore you feel entitled to it, or you feel angry when life doesn't go very well. How could this happen to me, God? You feel angry when life doesn't go very well. There's a bit of that Pharisee heart in it. I deserve a better life. Entitled, angry. Jealous of the wicked. That maybe you resent our need to be holy when really we want the wild living too. You begrudge the fact you have to obey. Or live holy, or something like that. Maybe, fourthly, you look down on people that you think aren't as good as us. And this can happen just as much in churches. Maybe you've been in a group, growth group or something like that, and there's somebody in the room, and they start talking, and they start contributing to the discussion, and you think, oh, here we go. We'll just have to listen to this, because they don't really know what they're talking about. They don't know as much as me. And we'll let them just waffle on until, okay, right, then we'll move on. Maybe you are somebody who's full of fear and guilt. You're afraid you've not, have I done enough? And then when you do fall and stumble, you just feel crushed by guilt. Just, it's like this overwhelming misery. Sixthly, joyless, loveless, thankless. See, if these things start to count, if you can relate to any of those things, it's because there's a little bit of Pharisee in us, isn't there? I mean, I think we're all a bit like that sometimes. I think we're all a bit like the younger son and we're all a bit like the older son. Well, how do you escape it? How do you escape that older son syndrome? All right, look at verse 31. My son. He's still a son. My son, the father said, you are always with me,
and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. See, what matters most to the Father is their relationship. That they have a relationship. Lord, son, you have me. And if you've got me, you've got everything. Am I enough for you? To know him, to know his love, to know his blessing. When we know and trust in Jesus, the Son of God, we become sons and daughters too. We have the same Father as Jesus. And if we are sons, then we are heirs as well, the Bible says. That's how we need to think of ourselves. I'm a child of a loving, gracious, generous Father. And that is what inspires how we then live for God. Not as slaves, not as some transaction, but as sons and daughters. And we must celebrate God's scandalous grace for people who don't deserve it, who come to share in this relationship too. We had to celebrate. Here's Jesus with the sinners, and he's pleading with the Pharisees to say, can't you see what's happening? These people that you don't think deserve, they found life in me. Let's be glad. Let's be glad. If we serve sin, if we serve our sin, it will only rob us of joy and life, won't it? Sin kills and sin destroys. A life lived for self and for pleasure and for sin, it's a shrinking, emptying, impoverished kind of life. But this Father, this God, this of incredible compassion and love is worth living for. Last thought then as we finish. What about our church? What kind of culture do we have? What kind of culture do we have? I think one of the ways you can tell if we are more like the elder brothers is by how many younger brother types we have in our church. Let me say that again. I think you can tell whether we're an older brother kind of church if by how many younger brother types there are. Are we a church who welcomes younger brother types like Jesus did? Let's be a church who welcome all, sinners and Pharisees, because we all need Jesus. All who are lost, let's celebrate the wonder of God's love for us all. Now, we don't know how the older son's story ends, do we? We don't know whether he went in and Jesus kind of leaves us on that cliffhanger. Again, it's another invitation. How will your story end in this? Like the younger son coming home or staying outside? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had thinking about this passage. Somebody's got a prayer or response. Lydia, come on, you pray this prayer for us. I was going to pray, but you come and pray. I gave it to you to do. Lydia's going to pray, and then we'll sing again. Thank you. Sorry, Lydia.
Loving Father, please help us when we're us not to be like the older brother. Help us not to feel angry when you show grace to others. Forgive us when we think we are better than others because of the good things we do. Save us from being proud and judging people when we wander away from you. Help us to remember that we need your grace too. Teach us to celebrate when people come back to you instead of keeping track of their mistakes. Don't let us stay outside the party feeling angry when you are calling us to join the celebration. Make us kind and generous like you have been kind and generous to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.